You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. The National Football League regular season has kicked off when we put you in a winner's circle with the Denver Broncos, +3. Now, I'm just happy that I didn't go down with the ship once again after going down in flames like the Titanic in last year's Super Bowl. I didn't expect that the National Football League would allow Cam Newton to be fair game and get hit more than a Donald Trump-themed pinata at a Cinco de Mayo picnic. But hey, it is what it is. And we talked about this on yesterday's program. Only dead and dumb people don't change their minds. I was on Carolina. I'm dumb, but I ain't dead yet. Denver cashes. We got a plethora of picks for you guys. Now, listen, I was all fired up for the show yesterday. You know, first NFL game and all that type of stuff. And, you know, we grinded through it, man. You know, we had a lot of technical difficulties, and we still actually do. But I don't care. We can't really have a better show than we have for you today. Next in, like, I don't know, like, you know, Beyonce and Rihanna having sex in front of us right now. That would be better. That's better, but this is still pretty good. Steve Merrill, actually, it's a bad analogy. You go from Rihanna and Beyonce making out to a white dude in Virginia. Hey, Steve Merrill's going to join us via Skype, too. Merrill's going to join us. We're talking college football. We're talking NFL football. Joseph Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. We're going to talk college football with Joe. Pat Mayo returns to Game Time Decisions, the Super Lock. 2 years running, Pat's been plus money. Last year, he tore it apart, man, with the Super Lock segment on Game Time Decisions. I've got a millionaire maker lineup for you. It's almost a crime that I have to share it with everybody. But that's why I get paid the big bucks, all right? We got a ton of picks. You want NFL picks? They're going to be all over the Fantasy Sports Network website, our YouTube page. Tune in to Morenci Unfiltered this evening. And subsequently, the video will be posted with my top NFL bets of the week. We're off and running with a winner. But let's give you a little teaser right now to get this party started, all right? No politics. No politics right now. No national anthems. No none of this stuff. You guys go freaking crazy, man, when I talk about this stuff. You go crazy. And I got to tell you, you know, one of my biggest beefs, and I've been in the industry a long time. I used to be on AM radio, all right? You dumb punks, you know what that is? AM radio. I used to take phone calls from freaks and stuff. I used to get a lot of good, like, trollers, like crank calls, so to speak. The good old boys. You know, the jerky boys days. You know what I mean? Like, funny stuff. Nowadays, trollers on the internet are brain dead. They, you know, really. You know, humans have the less attention span than a damn goldfish. They're about as intelligent as goldfish are. But I gotta tell you, there were some pretty good comments out there. As somebody is in disbelief that myself could be high on cocaine all the time and a conservative at the same time. And you're, you know, very, very funny. I actually liked it, but you're wrong. I'm not high on cocaine right now, and I'm not a conservative. So, wrong on two parts. Don't do cocaine, kids. All right, let's get this party started with some bold National Football League predictions for week one. Let's start off with the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. Rex Ryan's much maligned Buffalo Bill defense terrorizes Joe Flacco and an anemic Baltimore Raven offense. Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, and Sammy Watkins lead the Buffalo Bills to victory as three-point road underdogs. And incidentally, Greg Roman's never lost a season opener while he's been an OC in a National Football League. I didn't even know that. A little icing on top of this cake. Buffalo wins. Three-point underdogs. That's bold. Here's another bold prediction right now. Dak Prescott lights it up. Dak Prescott puts up great numbers. Dak Prescott is a great pick at $5,000 on DraftKings. Ezekiel Elliott looks real good. Rushes for over 100 yards. But when it's all said and done, the New York Giants steal the day. Odell Beckham, who's actually been held in check in his career against the Dallas Cowboys, goes off. Eli wins again. Dallas looks good with the kids, but starts off 0-1. Derek Carr, throws for four, maybe five touchdown passes. That's right. Four, maybe five touchdown passes. As the Oakland Raiders hype is real, they go into the Superdome and beat down the New Orleans Saints. Crabtree, Cooper, Walford, they all go off. Derek Carr, a little bit pricey in the fantasy world, but he's going to live up to the hype and he's going to shred a pathetic Saints secondary. I say, is it bold? Well, they are underdogs, the Raiders. They're going to win the game. And I'll say bold. I'll say five touchdown passes for Derek Carr. That's pretty bold. Five touchdown passes. You want bolder? Hey, Morency, you're not giving me bold enough. It's like an infomercial. I'm still not satisfied, Morency. I need more. Convince me. All right, how about this? The Green Bay Packers lose in Jacksonville. Ooh, Aaron Rodgers is great. Ooh, the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers will melt like cheese, Wisconsin cheese, in that North Florida heat as the Jacksonville Jaguars start off a heavily hyped 2016 campaign with a close, lower-scoring football game victory over the visiting Green Bay Packers. The Packers have lost three of their last four season openers. Make it four of their last five. The Jacksonville Jaguars win. Carson Wentz plays well in his National Football League debut. Ryan Matthews, a fantasy steal at $5,700 for DFS players. Ryan Matthews probably runs for about 128 yards and maybe a touchdown or two. But when it's all said and done, you're going to see on the ESPN highlights, on Sunday night, you're going to be seeing the former Ohio State Buckeye quarterback Terrell Pryor hauling in touchdowns from RG3 as RG3 and the deep ball led by Hugh Jackson gets the Cleveland Browns the straight up W in Philadelphia. Jimmy Garoppolo starting for the New England Patriots. Ooh, the Patriots, ooh, they're 6-point underdogs. It was 1.5 with Brady, now it's 6. The New England Patriots not only covered a point spread in this game, they win this game outright. You want a bold prediction? LeGarrette Blount runs for 138 yards right up the damn middle like they used to do on the Indianapolis Colts. They keep the potent Cardinal offense on the sidelines. Patriots cover the 6 and win the game outright. Melvin Gordon lives up to the hype and pops a big-ass run against a stout Kansas City Chief defense. And not only to the Kansas City Chargers game come down to the wire, this time San Diego does not blow it. Upset special. San Diego wins outright as 6.5-point road underdogs. Second-round draft pick, Robert Aguayo, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This kid maligned in the preseason. Like Allen Iverson said, we talking about the preseason, man. The preseason? Robert Aguayo wins this football game on a last-second game-winning kick in his first regular season game. Kirk Cousins says, you like that? You like that? You will like that if you back the Washington Redskins on Monday night, because Kirk Cousins is going to shred that Pittsburgh Steelers secondary. And our boldest prediction of them all, the sad sack lowly San Francisco 49ers beat Jeff Fisher's Los Angeles Rams on Monday night. Chip Kelly wins his first game. Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, God, it's hot in here. Imagine how hot in here it would be if I had the Carolina Panthers last night, minus the 3. As I was standing off the top of the program, I'm just really proud of myself that I don't know if I'm smarter or what how this worked out, but, you know, the old me would have went down again with Carolina. I was locked in on Carolina, but it was a trap. It was a trap last night, and you just couldn't lay 3. I figured if they couldn't beat them on a neutral field, why are they going to be able to beat them in the Mile High City? All right, so let's talk some football so we can get to as many games with all of our guests as possible. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, let's jump right in. Last night, the college football world took a night off. They gave deference to the National Football League. You know, I would have liked a couple of crappy college games last night, to be honest, Steve. But we didn't get them, but we got a couple of games tonight. One of them is a crappy game. The other one might turn out to be not too bad. Let's start out with the Terps and Florida International. Steve, what's your take?
Well, I mean, Maryland, obviously the superior team here. But only laying 12, a Big Ten opponent, you know, against FIU shows that FIU has some ability here. I think it could be a high-scoring game. The total opened as high as 60 earlier in the week. It's down to 56.5. Not quite sure I agree with that move. You know, you got to be careful to read too much into last week. Howard is a terrible team. And I really think, you know, Maryland has yet to been tested. I'm not sure they'll be tested tonight. But FIU maybe can do a little something on their home field. You know, back in the day when we used to have only one or two weeknight games a year, you know, each week, as opposed to all these games now, these double-digit home dogs were always worth a look. Hasn't held up quite as much in recent years. They did lose by 21 to another Big Ten team in Indiana last week, which is a concern. But I think the over may be the safest, but I think there'll be some points.
You know what? I totally agree with you, Steve. As you stated, yeah, they lost. They lost that game, but that game was actually like real close. It was a one-point game going into the fourth quarter. And I agree as far as the points. Now, listen, DJ Durkin's a good coach, and I think the Terps are going in the right direction right now. We know that Alice has struggled at the quarterback position there in past years. He looked pretty good. We can't take too much away from playing Howard. But the fact is, Maryland do have a lot of big kids on the offensive line, Steve. I agree with you, and I think FIU will be able to move the football a little bit. They're expecting, you know, scattered, you know, rain and storm tonight. It's Florida. That's every damn night. I think 56 is too low. I like the over, Steve.
Yeah, it's a good point about the weather. You got to wonder if that moved this total down a little bit earlier in the week. And I think if that's the reason the line moved down, it's not a valid reason. In fact, a little bit of rain sometimes helps the offense, as you know, Gabe, because the receivers and running backs know which way they're cutting. The defenders don't. So unless you get heavy winds or fog, you know, really weather, I think, sometimes could actually help scoring.
All right, let's talk about a football game where I think there's also going to be a ton of points put up on the board. We've got Louisville and Syracuse. The Ville hung 70 last week on the Charlotte 49ers. Lamar Jackson, unbelievable. He completed passes to 16 different receivers. Dino Babers wants to run that quick tempo offense. They scored 33 on Colgate. Colgate's not a bad FCS team either, Steve. So, you know, an impressive first win. They did what they had to do. I don't know. This could be somewhat of a letdown and maybe a little bit of overreaction. Syracuse were 5-0 as home dogs last year. That dome's going to be rocking tonight on a Friday night. They sell booze at those games too, Steve. They're going to be all liquored up, these kids. That's a lot of points. I got a small play on the dog, and I like the over of this game.
Yeah, we always talk about, what's the rule? Is it because it's an off-campus site? Is that why they're able to sell the liquor?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. There seems to be a gray area now with this, whether they approve it or not, the regions approve it or not. Because is the Carrier Dome on the campus?
I kind of thought it maybe was. I've never been up there. That's more in your neck of the woods. But yeah, I mean, it's a strong home field just because it's a quirky home field. And it does get a little loud in there at times. And I think being a Friday night primetime game, once again, this will be a bigger game than normal for Syracuse. And it's opened as low as 13.5. It's up to 14.5, 15. So it's crossed over that key line of exactly two touchdowns. You're right about a high-scoring game, though. This line was as low as 64 earlier this week, 68 this morning. Now it's 69. It'll probably hit 70 by game time. Still might not be enough, though. Louisville put up 70 on their own last week. And this is an explosive offense. One angle in college football that usually works pretty well is that momentum angle. Teams that score this many points, 70, you know, even 50 or more really, usually play well the next week. Now, normally they're not a double-digit road favorite, so I don't think there's necessarily any value here, but the over definitely should be a high-scoring game here.
Yeah, it's funny, Steve, the intricacies of NFL and collegiate betting, in which teams in the NFL that score 40 one week, you know, the numbers are like they'll score 9 points the next week. College, team hangs 51, they get rolling. You're right. It's like a snowball effect. Okay, so we're not talking NASCAR. It's the last race. We'll get back into the NASCAR next week, Steve, when the chase begins. But this is close. We're talking, you know, what is it? You know, fast car? I don't know what to call this. Football NASCAR here. But so we got Virginia Tech and Tennessee playing at Bristol. This is way cool, man.
You know what would be even cooler is if a sports book would put out a head-to-head prop on, will the Richmond track or will Bristol have more attendance on Saturday night? I don't think Richmond could even hold. They might be able to hold 130 now because they put in a big grandstand. Talk about jumping the shark. They put in this huge grandstand like around 2006, 2007 to add like 30,000 more seats, and they have not sold out since, I don't think, because, you know, the recession hit and NASCAR attendance has been down. But the Richmond race is at 7:30, a few hours away in Bristol, right on the border. Tennessee and Virginia is the huge football game at 8 o'clock Eastern. They could have up to 130,000 here. Who knows? And I think the crowd will be very evenly split between Virginia Tech and Tennessee. And as of now, with Virginia Tech being an 11-point dog, You'd have to lean that way. I think there's a lot of uncertainty in this game. You know, the field should be okay. I don't think there'll be any problems with the field, but you don't know. I mean, they're putting down a synthetic turf field for one game here on the racetrack. Tennessee obviously underachieved last week. They needed overtime to win as a 21-point favorite against Appalachian State. And as we talked about on Monday, the SEC in general has really underperformed so far this season. Virginia Tech didn't look great against Liberty either. They have a new head coach in Fuentes. But keep in mind, Bud Foster, the defensive coordinator, is still here. So I think they're a good defensive dog catching double digits with a lot of uncertainty on a neutral field. I'm leaning Virginia Tech right now on this one.
I agree with you 100%, Steve. And, you know, we just flashed some shots of the stadium. Man, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
They're expecting in between 150 and 160,000 for this
game.
That
many?
Yeah. That many.
I thought like 130 was going to be the limit. That's insane.
Yeah. Between 150 and 160. Unbelievable. Wow. They're cramming them in, man. Hottest ticket in the South right now. And I agree with you. I think Tennessee, there's so much pressure on this Volunteer team, Steve. They just need to dodge bullets and survive. They got SEC play coming up right now. It's a tough spot for them. And what I like about this, maybe I wouldn't be in such a hurry, and no disrespect to Beamer, but I like Fuente. And Fuente is a young upstart coach, and the guy's great numbers and underdog. You know he's going to have his kids fired up. You know that he's going to say, man, we're double-digit underdogs to these guys. They've got athletes. And then you throw in the invariable of playing on a NASCAR track. You know, to me, this game's a close game, man.
Yeah, but there's a lot of uncertainty here. Whenever there's uncertainty, I'd rather have more than a touchdown and a half with the underdog. And I agree with Fuentes. I think he's one of the top five coaches in the country right now. He's going to turn this program, not really turn them around. I mean, they've been an 8-9 win caliber team for decades. But he could get them on the national title contention once again, like they were when they had Michael Vick. But what I like here is there's not that learning curve like with the new staff normally, because you still have Bud Foster and all that defense. So, I think this Virginia Tech team is a play-on team in the near future. All right, but Tennessee was also for me, so that's a tough call.
I know. I got burnt last week, and I always take the underdog, Steve. But I jumped in and I laid the points with Tennessee. I wasn't too happy about that, the way that they played. All right, let's switch gears over to the NFL. Buffalo Bills, my Buffalo Bills. Getting 3 points at the Baltimore Ravens, and I want an outside neutral opinion on this, because, you know, it's funny, all off season, Steve, I was like, man, there's no way, man, the Bills should be getting more than 2.5. They should be getting more than 2.5. And I was like, it's kind of a weird spot for Buffalo, but I felt the same way all summer and like in Carolina, and I realized Denver was the play. And I look at this, and I just don't think Baltimore are that good. I think Buffalo have more talent. And I think Tyrod Taylor is the best player on the field on Sunday and wins this game for Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Ravens. I think they're an overrated squad. I think they're an aging squad that's getting older, and they're going to be on the downturn here in the next few seasons. Meanwhile, I think Buffalo has some upside. I like Buffalo in this game. I think they're the better team overall. Home field is worth about 3. You know, Baltimore is a very strong home field, so hey, give them 3.5. But that means the odds makers are still saying these teams are equal, because the line currently is 3 minus $1.25. This line might hit 3.5 by Sunday, so I would definitely wait and play the Bills as late as possible. At worst, you're getting +3. You might get a +3.5, which is a very key number.
I see that. I saw this morning Ray Lewis is disagreeing with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah,
good.
That's nice. Hey, well, Colin Kaepernick disagrees with smashing people over the head with champagne bottles, Ray. I like that Tony Stewart and Ray Lewis, two guys that have killed people, are basically upset about Kaepernick, Steve.
Yeah, but I'm not going to disagree with them on this one. It irritated me last night. I was rooting for the Panthers just because it was 1-0 in my view, because one Denver Bronco took a knee. It was Kaepernick's one teammate from Nevada, the linebacker. Hey, look, you know, I won't get on my soapbox real quick, but you can disagree with the police, whatever's going on in society, but when I hear the national anthem, I think of all the soldiers that have died, you know, fighting for the right for a guy to make $7 million a year playing football as an idiot.
So, Steve, were you one of the people that were cheering when Brandon Marshall got hurt? Because he got hurt.
Yeah, I didn't even think
guys,
about that.
The one guy that kneels is the one guy who ends up getting hurt, although he came back to the game.
And I'll say this real quick, too. I've heard Kaepernick's interviews, and I've heard Marshall in the past. They're not exactly rocket scientists, so you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt, too. And these are the guys you're backing. You know, be careful with that.
All right. Green Bay Packers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's an upset special that I call here. I think the Jags can win this game outright. The Packers are 1-3 in their last 4 season openers. You get these cold weather teams going into Florida early in the year. The heat's going to catch up to them a little bit. And it's another one that, listen, I think Green Bay's defense is really good. I don't know what to expect from their offense. I really don't, Steve. I mean, Eddie Lacy's going to have a big game here. Aaron Rodgers in that passing attack isn't as lethal as it was a few years ago. Jordy Nelson's not 100%. I think 5.5 points is way too high to be laying with the Pack on the road here.
Yeah, there's one thing that's certain, Gabe. This will be probably the most public favorite of the week. I think every Joe on Sunday morning average player is going to jump on Green Bay lane just 5 against Jacksonville. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some sharp money on the Jaguars. So I'm not going to necessarily say this line is going higher, but I think this will be a real public versus, you know, sharp game. I would lean to Jacksonville for that reason. Green Bay is now currently the Super Bowl favorite in a lot of sports books at 7-1, but Jacksonville could be a team on the rise. Bortles played well at times last year. They've got some offensive weapons at receiver. If they can all stay healthy, if the offensive line can protect him, I think Jacksonville could be a bit of a sleeper team. And as we know, week one really doesn't correlate to the rest of the season. We see crazy results every year, and this would definitely not shock me to see Jacksonville win this game. It's a tough call, though. I think these are both decent teams. Green Bay, one of the best in the league, and Jacksonville maybe a little underrated right now.
All right, quickly on the way out of here, Steve. Raiders and Saints, man, this is going to be one of the more entertaining games of the week. I don't like being so obvious with the total here at 51, but the Saints are an over machine, 21-12, their last 33 games over the number. The Raiders are on a 25-14-2 over run right now. I think the Raiders' defense is going to be improved. I'm buying into the Raider hype. And how about this, Steve? Saints. Yeah, the Superdome used to be a dominant, a tough place to go play, dominant home field for them. The Saints are just 4-9 in their last 13 home games. I like the Raiders any over here.
I like the Raiders here as well, Gabe. They're a team on the rise. They remind me a little bit of Jacksonville, a team that's lost year after year. Meanwhile, the Saints remind me a lot of the Ravens, an aging team that is on the decline, and we've seen that the last few years. They've lost a lot of games as a favorite. They're barely a favorite. And this one, Derek Carr also had a real breakout season last year in year two. Now his third season, second season with Jack Del Rio as the head coach. I think that's a plus as well. Only concern with Oakland this year would be the distraction of the Las Vegas move. Their season win total is 8.5. This team has won 8 games or less every year since 2002 when they made the Super Bowl. But I think they'll win this one.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. Check him out online over the weekend. Steve will win. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll see if I'm still here. Let me just wrap this around my neck right now. And see if we can... damn cables! Game Time Decisions continues. Serenity now! Serenity now! I swear to God, we're like in a multi-million dollar studio, but we have problems with like 99-cent pieces of plastic. It's like my life, penny-wise, pound crazy. All right, thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us on the program. Just to quickly recap, me and Steve are in agreement on everything. Maryland, Florida International, over the number. Syracuse is a home dog in a high-scoring game. Virginia Tech, hang around with Tennessee. Steve's in agreement. Buffalo Bills +3. Steve was in agreement. I don't know. It's almost scary. Steve was in agreement. Jacksonville Jaguars +5.5. And Steve was in agreement. Oakland Raiders and the over. Let's talk some college football right now. Then we're going to get back to the NFL in a couple of minutes with Pat Mayo in studio. Mayo's going to give us some picks. I've got a millionaire maker. It's like the reverse world. Hey, Pat should be giving us the millionaire. I should be giving the picks. It's like we've reversed things. But I got a plenty of NFL picks for you on Marinci Unfiltered. Let's bring in Joe Lisi. GoForTheTube.com. And you can also hear Joe and Rich Sermonello talking college football every Saturday morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Network radio network. Joe, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Always a pleasure, Gabe. Love talking college football with you. Great show.
All right. I appreciate it, Joe. So let's blast through as many games as we can get. I already broke down the Louisville game with Steve Merrill, but I like to get different opinions. So quickly on this one, what's your take on this contest tonight with Louisville going into to the Dome?
Well, Louisville has won 3 of the last 4 since 2011, Gabe, by 21 points per game, and they won last year 41-17. But Louisville does play Florida State next week. I think this is a classic look-ahead game, and crazy things happen in the Carrier Dome. That's one thing I can tell you from the Vegas angle. I take the points in this matchup. I think Louisville wins this game by about 10 points.
That's a great call as far as playing FSU. It's one of the reasons why I think Western Kentucky hangs around with Alabama. They're laying 28.5. Bama will run the score up on a good team, but Saban's got nothing to prove in beating up on Western Kentucky. He'd rather beat up on USC, and they got Ole Miss coming up. College football is so important, isn't it, Joe? Looking at the schedule and who a team's playing next, especially if we're talking about conference games.
Absolutely. I mean, these setup games prior to big matchups are games where teams can come out tight. And I think you saw it last week with Tennessee and Appalachian State. Was Tennessee looking ahead to this game with Virginia Tech? It's possible. So you got to be careful when you get another opponent, a solid opponent, especially a conference opponent, prior to a big game. Always like taking the points in that scenario.
Well, you're a college football historian. You know, we had Chris Dolman on the program here before in studio, former Pitt Panther, great. And I think people, you know, don't really realize, actually, the Pittsburgh Panthers used to be in the national championship conversation on a yearly basis, you know, through the late 70s into the 80s. You know, Tony Dorsett, Hugh Green, Chris Dolman, and, oh, yeah, a young upstart quarterback named Dan Marino. You know, they had a hell of a program, and the Penn State-Pitt game used to often decide, you know, there's no playoff, it was AP polls, but it often used to decide the votes and who would play. They haven't played in 16 years. It's great to see them renew the rivalry tomorrow.
It is. It's a classic blue-collar game, Gabe. It's an interstate game that really deals with recruiting wars throughout the state. So this is an interesting battle. Penn State last year, though, was 0-5 on an away or neutral field site. They lost all five road games last year, including their road loss in the bowl game to Georgia. They lost those five games by 18.6 points per game. For me, this game comes down to the quarterbacks, Trace McSorley at Penn State and Nate Peterman at Pittsburgh. I like Nate Peterman. Think he's a more consistent passer. And I like the offense and defensive line play of Pittsburgh. I think they wear down Penn State in this matchup and do get a double-digit victory in this game.
James Franklin was a big hire, getting him from Vanderbilt to go up there to take over this program. Yet he really seemingly just destroyed Christian Hackenberg somehow. He's gone 7-6 in back-to-back seasons. You know, I think that the alum there, they don't want to hear that the scandal is much of an excuse is anymore. This is a big football game for Franklin. You know, he came in walking a big, you know, carrying a big stick. He's got to start winning some of these big games.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the one thing I look at when I look at Penn State overall is their rushing production since he got there. I mean, Penn State over the last 6 years has been up in the 145 rushing yards per game. Well, the first year that he was there, they were right in the area of about 103. Last year, they were still not where they were in years past. And last week, they only rushed for 145 rushing yards on the ground against Kent State. They're going to need a better effort against Pittsburgh to pull out this victory. And that's why I like Pittsburgh's defensive front seven in this matchup, coupled with the fact that Pat Narduzzi is a defensive-minded coach. And I like that in that matchup, especially with them playing at home.
Yeah, I tell you, the total is 47.5 in this game. That's pretty low for a college game, but this is a lunch pail Pennsylvania special here, man. You know, this is ham and cheese. Like, you're not getting, you know, this is the old school bologna on bread. You're not getting anything fancy here. It's going to be a lot of running. A great story with James Conner coming back from Lymphon's Hodgkoma. All right, quickly on this one, we'll get to a couple of bigger games. The Kentucky Wildcats, I was in a Vegas sportsbook last week. And I was watching Kentucky, and it's funny. I said to someone in the book, I said, damn. I said, you know, I think Kentucky's a dark horse, actually. They're going to give people in the SEC a hard time this year. I said that when they were winning like 17-3 or something. Then they were up like 35-10. And then the next thing I looked, they lose the game outright. They fell apart. Now they get 16.5 in the swamp. They've lost 29 straight games in the swamp. Last week, Florida underachieved as 34.5-point favorites against UMass. I just wonder, man, does Florida have enough offense to cover by 17 in this game?
I think they do. I mean, since 2006, the last 10 games have been decided by 26 points per game, but the last two have only been decided by 5.5 points per game. The last time in the swamp, Florida picked up a double overtime 36-30 victory over Kentucky. But I look at that Kentucky defense in the loss last week to Southern Miss. Gabe, they allowed 262 rushing yards on the ground to Southern Miss and running back Ito Smith. Florida has a very blue-collar, physical offensive line that I could think can wear down that defensive front seven of Kentucky. And you look at their offense, Kentucky's offense last week, they only rushed for 96 yards on the ground. They were one-dimensional with quarterback Drew Barker. That's going right up into the strength of Florida's defensive secondary led by Jalen Tabor. I think Florida has way too much defense for them, and I think they win this game by about 28 points. I think they dominate on Saturday afternoon.
All right, we only have about 3 minutes, Joe, and I got three games here, so let's go rapid fire. But, you know, this college card, not as sexy as week one, but I'll tell you what, for the late night owls that are getting ready for the NFL in the morning, this is where the fun is at, man. Utah at BYU, holy war. Doesn't get much, you know, people, everyone talk about Auburn and Bama, Michigan, Ohio State. These two teams freaking hate each other. The fans hate each other. You know, they'll call it the whole, it's like a religious thing. Like, these guys, like, it's deep. You got Cal and San Diego State, great game, flying under the radar. Texas Tech, Arizona State's going to be a track meet, fun game. For the record, I'll tell you, I like BYU to get revenge from the bowl game. I like Texas Tech to win on the road against the young Arizona State team in a game in which there might be 100 points on the board. But San Diego State, great football team. I'm just disappointed they're 7-point favorites. Like, the odds makers have caught on. But can you lay 7 to a Pac-12 team like Cal? What's your take on the late-night board? Some great action.
It is. I like San Diego State laying the big points. Cal hasn't played a game since August 26th. I think that's a big factor in this matchup. And I think the offense and defensive line is way too strong for Cal in this matchup. They gave up 248 rushing yards to Hawaii. This is a blue-collar team that I think dominates Cal in this matchup. I'm with you on BYU. As long as Taysom Hill is the quarterback for the Cougars, I like them getting points. I like Arizona State at home. I just like DeMario Richard, and I like the offensive line. Texas Tech last year had a very weak front seven that allowed over 250 rushing yards on the ground. Out in the desert, I like the home team. I think the Sun Devils dominate that matchup.
Really? Yeah. The Sun Devils, I just find them to be underachievers. And I like this Texas Tech offense. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be like an Arena Football League game, Joe, in which, you know, you better score every time you get the ball. And I trust Mahomes and that Tech offense more than I do the Devils.
That's a great point. They put up 758 total yards last week in their victory, Gabe. So you could be right. Crazy things happen in the desert, that's for sure.
I tell you, though, we got to get out of here. But you mentioned Taysom Hill. Great quarterback. He's like a Tim Tebow type. Except, you know, just great, great leader, great quarterback. But Jamal Williams, big, big difference maker. They didn't have him last year. Provides some of that spark and some athleticism that sometimes BYU's missing. BYU Cougars are a dangerous football team, and they want revenge on Utah, and Utah's rebuilding here. I think BYU gets it done.
I'm in agreement with you. Again, I'm not sold on Utah quarterback Troy Williams in that matchup. I think they're a little bit one-dimensional. And you mentioned Jamal Williams for BYU. He rushed for over 140 yards last week, and they like to utilize him in the short to intermediate passing game. I'm agreeing with you, Gabe. I like BYU in the matchup getting the points.
Tune in to Joe and Rich Sermonello in the morning, Fantasy Sports Network Radio. Thanks for the time, Joe.
Anytime, Gabe. Love the show.
Joe Lisi with us. We take a quick break. Pat Mayo joins us next. NFL Super Log time. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live, and we welcome Pat Mayo back to the program. Been a couple of months since Pat joined us on the show. 2 years running on the Fantasy Sports Network, though Pat has joined us every Friday for his NFL Super Lock or Locks of the Week. This is our third year doing it. Year one, Pat showed a small profit margin. Last year, a very, very strong performance with 12 wins. 12 games in the win column. All right, Pat, week one has arrived. Let's jump right in. What has caught your eye this week?
Well, do you want to start off with my favorite play of the week, or you want to save that to the end?
No, you know what? Let's jump right in with the top play, and then we can discuss the leftovers, so to speak. Well, yeah, it's week one. You know, you're all dressed up. You got the Blazers. You got the shoes. You're ready to go. You know, let's come flying out of the gate.
All right. So the Minnesota-Tennessee game opened as -3 Tennessee, or Minnesota on the road at Tennessee when Teddy Bridgewater went down. And now we still don't know who the starting quarterback is at this time. It's now down to 2.5. 2 in most places. That's the number that I ended up getting it at, and that's what most people can find it at the moment. And even with all this uncertainty surrounding the Vikings, their win total hasn't plummeted that far. The defense is still incredibly elite, and they do run the ball better than the Tennessee Titans, who the only thing they can possibly do well is run the ball. They can get to the quarterback, sure. They can pick off a lot of passes, but Minnesota is not running or not throwing in this game. They're going to pound the ball down the middle with Adrian Peterson. He might get 30 carries in this game. And I think this defensive front of the Minnesota Vikings holds up and stops DeMarco Murray, stops Derrick Henry. They're going to be fine. They're going to cover this 2.5 number on the road. Minnesota was the team I got on last year because they were so disrespected over and over and over again. They're being disrespected week one. I don't care who plays quarterback. The Vikings are winning this game, and they're winning by more than 3.
Yeah, the public perception of the Minnesota Vikings doesn't match how good the team actually is. We saw last year, they lost the first game of the year on the Monday nighter to the San Francisco 49ers. And people are like, wow, this team sucks. They're terrible. They couldn't even beat a piece of crap San Francisco 49er team. And then the Minnesota Vikings subsequently covered 13 of their next 15 football games. Were an absolute ATM machine for people that backed them. And you're right, it continues into this year with this small number. What's interesting, you know, people look at the Tennessee Titans and you look at the preseason and they're able to successfully run the ball down teams' throats with DeMarco Murray and with Derrick Henry. But as you stated, Pat, and I discussed this earlier in the week, the strength of the Minnesota Vikings is their defense and their run defense.
And nothing happened there. Yeah, same team coming back.
It's very difficult to run on them. And as far as the quarterback situation is concerned, it really doesn't matter. Either one of these guys can get the ball out. I'm more comfortable if Sean Hill starts than Bradford in week one.
He knows, so would I. I don't think it's going to be that big of a situation. It's not like they're going to be taking a ton of shots downfield, regardless of who's a quarterback. And Sean Hill's a shockingly efficient quarterback. He completes like 65% of his passes. And if he can do that in this game, even if they're 9-yard passes and get a few first downs, they're going to be fine. They're going to control the ball. They're going to get Tennessee off the field very quickly. The under in this game looks really good, too, because you just expect run. The clock keeps going. But I do really like the Vikings in this spot, and I just don't understand why people are now on Tennessee, despite the fact that Tennessee sucks.
You know,
look at the coaches. Look at the coaches on the sidelines. Zimmer,
Malarkey. I like Minnesota a lot here. It didn't make my top list, only because, Pat, it's week one. And as I just alluded to, the Vikings lost on the road last year in week one. I talked about it earlier. The Green Bay Packers have lost 3 of their last 4 season openers.
They've played a lot stiffer competition in those season openers in Jacksonville.
They lost to San Francisco one of those years.
They lost to Seattle one of those years.
A better San Francisco team when Harbaugh and Kaepernick, when Kaepernick used to stand for the national anthem.
And they lost to Seattle.
Crazy things do happen in week one.
Sure.
My problem with this is, and I know you like betting underdogs, but my problem with the Minnesota Viking pick is the same reason why the Raiders didn't make my top best bet list. They have to win the game on the road. Same reason like the New York Giants. And I want to take the Giants to beat the Cowboys, but they have to win the game. You know, and as a betting man, it's almost like old school football. Like Bo Schembechler, old me, rest in peace, the coach of the Michigan Wolverines, said. He said, you know, when you throw the football, 3 things can happen. 2 of them are bad. Right? Like you can throw an interception or it's going to be incomplete. He goes, let's run the football. We know it's going to happen. And I like taking an underdog, especially in week one, Pat. I look at week one in the same way I look at week 17. Kind of crazy.
Great week. There are other underdogs I prefer to bet at bigger numbers. I just don't think Tennessee's good. And you say throwing the ball. These teams are not throwing the ball. And the best unit on the field is Minnesota's defense. And they're going to shut down the Tennessee offense. They might win this game 17-6, but they're easily going to cover that number. I like that a lot. You want to talk underdogs. I don't love the game, but the Browns are paying pretty nice against the Eagles. Eagles for a team that we don't know much about.
Well, the Browns are going to cover the 4 points.
They may. I can't figure out what to make of the Browns, because if the Eagles' defense has actually improved under Jim Schwartz, they're going to pound Griffin into the ground and force him to turn the ball over and over and over, because that's what he does. He looked good in the preseason. That's fine. That was the preseason. We'll see how he holds up in the regular season. The upset that I kind of like, and it's kind of weird, I think it's because the Texans are overrated. The Bears are a weird team, and the Bears are getting a little bit better on defense. Cutler could be okay if Watts actually banged up, or Osweiler just sucks. The Bears could cover that number. I picked them to cover the number. They could win that game, too.
I like the Texans all summer long when it was -4. It's up to 6 right now. You've got J.J. Watt. Looks like he's going to play. Yeah. To me, Pat, it's just, I think the Bears, we've talked about it with Fox, his teams improve greatly in the second year all the time. That offensive line is still a problem. I agree with you with the defense. I think Houston grinded out win, but the 6 is high.
Six is a big number, and what's the money
line? You want a bold pick, Pat? Take the Jacksonville Jaguars plus 5.5.
No, I don't like that. I like Green Bay to absolutely wax them. I don't think everyone's buying into the Jags. Everyone's buying into the Raiders. Everyone's buying into the Bucks.
No, the Green Bay Packers are the second most popular Survivor pick. It's like, that's Johnny Public.
Fair enough. I wouldn't take them in Survivor. See, like, if there's a week to burn Seattle, this is the week to burn Seattle. They're by far the biggest favorite on the board. They're going to beat the Dolphins. They're at home. You take Seattle and Survivor. But I like Green Bay in the -5.
Seattle, sure. It's 5.5, but
down to 5 now.
Jacksonville could win that game outright. It's going to be a lower scoring game than people think. It's not going to be some big track.
I think that's the other way. I think that's going to be a very high scoring game. And I think
Green Bay's offense sucks.
Well, if Jordy Nelson's actually back, they're going to be fine. They were
He's not even going to play on every series.
Yeah, just like Kelvin Benjamin wasn't going to play last night either. But he did. So I think
they're lost. Kelvin Benjamin's team lost. Kelvin Benjamin didn't do jack in the fourth quarter. Yeah, disappeared.
But every report was that he was going to play 30% of the snaps. He was out there all the time. If the same report is going to be the same case for Jordy Nelson, I expect him to be out there. I expect this offense to be much better. And that defense is pretty good.
Packers defense, very, very good.
Very
elite,
underrated.
Elite defense.
So I think that just that complete. And listen, it's Bortles versus Rodgers. Rodgers is going to beat Bortles, and that's not going to be a problem.
We got to get out of here.
Under the number 4, Kansas City and San Diego. Under Ken Wisenhunt, that team is going to play a lot slower, and it's going to go under the 44.5.
Pat Mayo, super lock, the Minnesota Vikings, -2. We come back with my plays, a millionaire maker lineup, and my picks of the day. All right, I'm all fired up to give you guys some NFL winners, and the Jacksonville Jaguars will be one of them at +5.5. But I'm also fired up to try to become a millionaire, man. And really, yeah, it's tough to win the millionaire maker, but let's be real. To win an actual Powerball lottery, the state lottery, or the 649, etc., you know, the odds are like 17 million to 1. You enter one of these millionaire makers, your odds are like 1.5 million to 1. You could get lucky, and, you know, you could play a bunch of lineups and stuff and, you know, give yourself a better chance. You play 20 lottery tickets, Powerball tickets, you're not giving yourself a better chance. All right, so let's start off with my quarterback here. Yeah, there's a lot of good options on the board this week. I can think of none better than Derek Carr, $7,300. The same secondary's terrible. I'm going to be let down if he doesn't throw for like 4 or 5 touchdown passes. I literally will be. The Saints gave up 284 yards a game through the air. They went 0-4 in the preseason. I watched the preceason. You want to know how bad the Saints secondary is? Landry Jones was 19-22 against them. Landry Jones was 19-22 against them for a touchdown. Like, he played the game of his life. Like, every starter that played against the Saints lit it up in the preseason. We're taking Derek Carr. Running back, Ryan Matthews. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game, Cleveland to Philadelphia. It's going to go back and forth. I think it's going to come down to the wire. But I don't have to worry about Matthews being injury prone. I only need him to stay healthy for 3 hours here. Kid average 5.1 yard per clip. The Browns' run defense is soft, man. They got big-ass problems. They give up like 128 yards a game on the ground last year. And speaking of another team that's awful against the run, the Browns gave up 128 game last year. San Diego Chargers gave up 125. Give me Spencer Ware $4,000. There's some nice value for you right there. We're sprinkling with some big ticket items and some value here. All right, Amari Cooper, I'm stacking him with Derek Carr. Saints defense gave up the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers last year and the most touchdowns to wide receivers last year. He had plantar fasciitis last year. He still caught 72 balls for 6 touchdowns, 20 drops. Cooper's 100% right now. He's going to break loose. Kid's going to be a major-ass star. I'm stacking Carr and Cooper. Here's a value pick for you guys, Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor's only $3,000, all right? He's starting wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if you guys are aware, but Hugh Jackson only throws the ball deep. And I don't know if you guys were paying attention to what Terrell Pryor and RG3 were doing in the preseason, but they were lighting it up. Terrell Pryor in the preseason, 5 catches, 122 yards. He averaged 24.4 yards per catch. And, oh, yeah, a touchdown or two mixed in there. Terrell Pryor's got like 4.3 speed. The kid's getting open. He's worked on being a wide receiver. $3,000 is a steal. My big ticket item is Odell Beckham Jr., $9,300. You know, it's pretty crazy, actually. The Cowboys held him completely in check last year. Like 36 yards, 45 yards. But that was last year. 2 years ago, he torched the Cowboys. Cowboys aren't going to be able to get a pass rush on Eli Manning, which means they're going to have a hard time covering Odell Beckham. And I'll tell you, Sterling Shepard's going to be a decent player, too, because of all the coverage that Beckham gets. But Beckham's going to get 2 touchdowns this week. All right. I don't like putting 3 guys from the same team, but last year, a dude won $2 million putting everyone from the Pittsburgh Steelers in his lineup. Walford at $3,000 at tight end, starting tight end for the Raiders. The Saints defense is porous, and I'd rather just get him for $3,000 than some of the other tight ends. There's not really a lot of tight ends that we're guaranteed to get big numbers from this week. And because of this, I was able to squeeze in Sammy Watkins, my boy, Sammy Watkins. He's going to have like 118 yards and 2 touchdowns, man. He's going to light it up. Well, maybe not 2 touchdowns, but 1 touchdown, 92 yards. Sammy Watkins, $6,900. Come on, man. I got Amari Cooper. I got Sammy Watkins and Odell Beckham. I got Derek Carr. I got Ryan Matthews. I got Spencer Ware. I got Terrell Pryor. You know what I have? I have a damn good fantasy team. Houston Texans are my defense. They're going to terrorize Jay Cutler. All right, so there's my millionaire maker lineup. I'm going to have all my NFL picks on Morency Unfiltered a little bit later on in the evening on the Fantasy Sports Network. But I'm not going to lie to you. You don't even have to wait to midnight. They get posted up on YouTube on a fantasy page. They're up on a Fantasy Sports Network webpage as well. But we've got some games tonight. And, you know, I was going to give you guys weekend picks and stuff, but I'm like, nah, man, there's football tonight, and I like these games, actually. Maryland and Florida International. This game goes over 56.5. We got a fun game at the Carrier Dome up in Western New York. Louisville and Syracuse. Louisville hung 70 on the 49ers last week. Lamar Jackson was great. Completed passes to 16 different guys. That's unbelievable. But they shouldn't be laying 15 points. Syracuse were 5-0 against the spread as home dogs last year. Dino Babers in town now. Fast-paced offense. Give me Syracuse and give me the over in this football game. And a little Canadian Football League action for you. I've been following the Montreal Alouettes for about 40 years now. The Alouettes, I think, have won in BC like 4 times. BC in the over, 7-point teaser. But I like the college games better. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.